CD 6. Misty grey buildings loomed and flickered. They bounced up and down in a highly embarrassing way. What sort of buildings were they? What were they for? What did they remind her of? It's so difficult to know what things are supposed to be when you suddenly turn up unexpectedly on a different world, which has a different culture, a different set of the most basic assumptions about life, and also incredibly dull and meaningless architecture. The sky above the buildings was a cold and hostile black. The stars, which should have been blindingly brilliant points of light this far from the sun, were blurred and dulled by the thickness of the huge shielding bubble, perspex or something like it. Something dull and heavy anyway. Tricia wound the tape back again to the beginning. She knew there was something slightly odd about it. Well, in fact, there were about a million things that were slightly odd about it, but there was one that was nagging at her, and she hadn't quite got it. She sighed and yawned. She was sitting in a small editing suite at a video production company in Soho. She had Do Not Disturb notices plastered all over the door and a block on all incoming calls at the switchboard. This was originally to protect her astonishing scoop, but now it was to protect her from embarrassment. She would watch the tape all the way through again from the beginning, if she could bear to. She might do some fast-forwarding here and there. It was about 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and she had a kind of sick feeling. She was trying to work out what the cause of this slightly sick feeling was, and there was no shortage of candidates. First of all, it had all come on top of the overnight flight from New York. The red eye, always a killer, that. Then, being accosted by aliens on her lawn and flown to the planet Rupert. She was not sufficiently experienced in that sort of thing to be able to say for sure that that was always a killer, but she would be prepared to bet that those who went through it regularly cursed it. There were always stress charts being published in magazines. 50 stress points for losing your job, 75 points for a divorce or changing your hairstyle, and so on. None of them ever mentioned being accosted on your lawn by aliens and then being flown to the planet Rupert, but she was sure it was worth a few dozen points. It wasn't that the journey had been particularly stressful. It had been extremely dull, in fact. Certainly, it had been no more stressful than the trip she had just taken across the Atlantic, and it had taken roughly the same time, about 7 hours. Well, that was pretty astounding, wasn't it? Flying to the outer limits of the solar system in the same time that it took to fly to New York meant they must have some fantastic, unheard-of form of propulsion in the ship. She quizzed her hosts about it, and they agreed that it was pretty good. "But how does it work?" she had demanded excitedly. She was still quite excited at the beginning of the trip. She found that part of the tape and played it through to herself. The Grebulons, which is what they called themselves, were politely showing her which buttons they pressed to make the ship go. "Yes, but what principle does it work on?" she heard herself demand from behind the camera.
"Oh, you mean is it something like a warp drive or something like that?" they said.
"Yes," persisted Tricia. "What is it?"
"It probably is something of the kind," they said.
"Like what?"
"Warp drive, photon drive, something like that. You'd have to ask the flight engineer."
"Which one is he?"
"We don't know. We have all lost our minds, you see."
"Oh, yes," said Tricia a little faintly. "So you said. How did you lose your minds exactly, then?"
"We don't know," they said patiently.
"Because you've lost your minds," echoed Tricia glumly.
"Would you like to watch television? It is a long flight. We watch television. It is something we enjoy."
All of this riveting stuff was on the tape, and fine viewing it made. First of all, the picture quality was extremely poor. Tricia didn't know why this was, exactly. She had a feeling that the Grebulons responded to a slightly different range of light frequencies, and that there had been a lot of ultraviolet around, which was mucking up the video camera.
There are a lot of interference patterns and video snow as well. Probably something to do with the warp drive that none of them knew the first thing about. So what she had on tape, essentially, was a bunch of slightly thin and discoloured people sitting around watching televisions that were showing network broadcasts. She had also pointed the camera out of the very tiny viewport near her seat and got a nice, slightly streaky effect of stars. She knew it was real, but it would have taken a good 3 or 4 minutes to fake. In the end, she had decided to save her precious videotape for Rupert itself and had simply sat back and watched television with them. She had even dozed off for a while. So part of her sick feeling came from the sense that she had had all that time in an alien spacecraft of astounding technological design and had spent most of it dozing in front of reruns of MASH and Cagney and Lacey. But what else was there to do? She had taken some photos as well, of course, all of which had subsequently turned out to be badly fogged when she got them back from the chemist. Another part of her sick feeling probably came from the landing on Rupert. This, at least, had been dramatic and hair-raising. The ship had come sweeping in over a dark and sombre landscape, a terrain so desperately far removed from the heat and light of its parent sun that it seemed like a map of the psychological scars on the mind of an abandoned child. Lights blazed through the frozen darkness and guided the ship into the mouth of some kind of cave that seemed to bend itself open to accept the small craft. Unfortunately, because of the angle of their approach and the depth at which the small, thick viewport was set into the craft's skin, it hadn't been possible to get the video camera to point directly at any of it. She ran through that bit of the tape. The camera was pointing directly at the sun. This is normally very bad for a video camera, but when the sun is roughly a third of a billion miles away, it doesn't do any harm. In fact, it hardly makes any impression at all. You just get a small point of light right in the middle of the frame, which could be just about anything. It was just one star in a multitude. Tricia fast-forwarded. Ah, now the next bit had been quite promising. They had emerged out of the ship into a vast, grey, hangar-like structure. This was clearly alien technology on a dramatic scale. Huge grey buildings under the dark canopy of the Perspex bubble. These were the same buildings that she had been looking at the end of the tape. She had taken more footage of them while leaving Rupert a few hours later, just as she was about to reboard the spacecraft for the journey home. What did they remind her of? Well, as much as anything else, they reminded her of a film set from just about any low-budget science fiction movie of the last 20 years. A lot larger, of course, but it all looked thoroughly tawdry and unconvincing on the video screen. Apart from the dreadful picture quality, she had been struggling with the unexpected effects of gravity that was appreciably lower than that on Earth, and she had found it very hard to keep the camera from bouncing around in an embarrassingly unprofessional way. It was therefore impossible to make out any detail.